the Radio Hall of Fame. The Radio Hall of Fame is presented during the full hour ahead by the Philco Corporation, makers today of battle equipment for the fighting forces of the United Nations, makers tomorrow of equipment for good living in a free world united by victory. Cooperating with Philco are the editors and correspondents of Variety, who report for the Philco program all the news of all show business the world over every week. This week, the editors of Variety recommend for your pleasure, and Philco delights to honor in your name, Red Skelton, Ginny Sims, Frank Fay, Harriet Hilliard, Claire Neeson, the principals and the chorus of Billy Rose's great new operetta, Carmen Jones. Our musical director, Paul Whiteman. Our master of ceremonies, the distinguished composer, critic, and commentator, Deems Taylor.
Thank you and good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Deems Taylor speaking for Philco. For the benefit of an elderly lady in northern Ontario who did not hear our opening explosion last Sunday, I think perhaps I'd better explain once more the purpose of this program. The Philco Hall of Fame is a review of reviews, a show of shows, a second chance to hear the good things that you have missed because you can't possibly listen all over the dial all the time. Our guide and mentor, Variety, the theatrical weekly newspaper, can listen to everything. Variety's bright young men are among those present wherever footlights gleam, from Hollywood and New York to London, Melbourne, and Moscow, from radio studio to soundstage, from concert hall to honky-tonk. Variety is our judge and jury. That which Variety sees, hears, and approves, Philco will honor with Hall of Fame laurels and a Hall of Fame microphone. Beginning now, with an overture derived by Paul Whiteman from the score of Broadway's newest musical hit, Carmen Jones. Our house lights dim, our curtain rises, Paul winks a reasonably solemn wink in my direction, and we hear Beat Out That Rhythm on the Drum by, of all people, Georges Bizet.
Thank you.
There'll be more of Carmen Jones later. A great deal more. If we were to label our next act with a variety-style headline, it might read...
Hall of Fame is Hall of Fay, as Faye moves in.
Meaning, enter Frank Fay. You know, Frank deserves either considerable kudos or a swift kick in the pants, depending on your prejudices, for inventing the Master of Ceremonies idea years ago. But he draws his varsity letter in the Hall of Fame for another reason, for his unique comedy style. Frank's manner of working is a special thing, a thing of beauty and a joy practically forever. His weapon is wit, and his method is ironic understatement. Moreover, just on general principles, we think you'll like Frank Fay.
I am so happy to be in New York. You know, I've had such a wonderful time here ever since I opened with the show and now at the Roxy Theater. I can truthfully say that since that time, I have been taken every place. I don't mean that the way it sounds. I mean, I have been more or less a guest, you know, strictly on the cuff in the vernacular. They took me to the Astor Hotel lounge. I couldn't get up. And last night, I went to the opening of a new night spot, the Club Crimson. You're not allowed to mention the name. But I have never seen so many people. Boy, was it crowded. If you wanted to dance, you didn't need a partner. You just stood up and shook. I was there with a very lovely lady, a Miss Betty Cranton Torch. She's of the Alabama Cranton Torches. They were formerly of Virginia. But there was a little trouble or something. They made her put it back. But she's a nice girl. She really is a lovely lady. She's a newspaper woman. She has a stand. And she sells the racing form a few numbers every week. Does the best she can. She and I were there alone together. I mean, there were other people. But we came in late, and I asked the waiter, the head waiter, for a table. And he handed me one about that big round. Looked like a white waffle. That's the new thing now. They give you a table, and you wander around with it, and you finally horn in between two parties. Then we sat, and there we were, head on, lying to each other. No, it's the most remarkable thing. When the music is playing and everybody else is busy, and you're there alone with someone, that's really when you can get your work in. And if the music plays loud enough, you get to believe what you're saying. Of course, when it stops, your conscience thickens. But while it was playing, I told her all about my great success in the theater, on the screen, and radio. I didn't tell her about my flops. We'd have been there yet. And then I hummed a little for her with the music. And finally, I had courage enough, I crooned a little. Well, Sinatra can't be every place. He tries, but he can't make it, the poor man. Doesn't get time to comb his hair. He's always in his kisser. But she liked my crooning. In fact, she said she was so happy, she didn't care if she paid the check. I didn't either, so she did. And we left. As we were leaving, she was on my arm. I leaned a little on her. And she said, Frank! See, by this time she was familiar. Familiar and loud. Isn't that awful when they get loud and you can't do a thing about it? You make out like you're not with them. She said, Frank, she said, you know, you look a little nervous and excited. And I said, I am, ladies and gentlemen, naturally, on account of the draft and everything. I don't mind being laughed at, but when it's dirty, it hurts, you know. No, but I did. I went down to the draft board. I walked right in. I saw the man there. I said, well, here I am. He said, what do you want? I said, what do I want? I want to register. He said, the hotel is across the street. Well, I turned to my governess, and I said, Tante, Oh, she is lovely. She's a lovely thing, solid. I said, Tonda, I said, wait there for me. And then I looked back at this guy, and I said, see here there, you fella, you. I'll have you know that I stand ready, willing, and equipped to fight for my country. And he said, what do you mean, equipped? I said, I still have my musket. I'll need a new trigger, but I mean, there's no need if you... here I am talking about that. And what I really want to do, is to take and call your attention to some of these songwriters, the words. You know how I fought for better words in songs. That's if you've ever heard me. Of course, I don't say that all the songwriters of today are on the Dipsy Doodle side. Some of the greats, men like Jerome Kern, Vincent Yeoman, they have a lot to answer for, too. Now, maybe you noticed that music when I was coming on. Tea for two. I'd like to take that up with you, ladies. So. Just picture me upon your knee. Just tea for two. And two for tea. Ain't that rich? Here's a guy's got it all figured out. He's got enough tea for two. So he's going to have two for tea. If the third person comes in, they stab him. Just me for you, and you for me. Alone. Alone. I remember the old one about, come on up to the room, I want to show you my etching. And nylon. But come on up and take a peek at my tea leaves. That is new. Nobody near us to see us or hear us. Who wants to hear two people drinking tea? No friends or relations. On weekend vacation, we won't have it known, dear, that we own a telephone. Makes a big thing out of it. All the guy has is a broken down cup of tea. And a telephone he won't let you use. Day will break and you'll awake and start to bake a sugar cake. Day will break and you'll awake and start to bake a sugar cake. The poor woman. What a future. She hops out of bed, washes her teeth, and bang, right to the oven. Nobody up but her. Feeling around in the dark for flour. He probably calls her up, too, to remind her. He says, oh, hello, honey. It's almost light out. What's cooking? For me to taste. All of the boys to see. Can you imagine this guy going down to the pool room? And he walks in, see? And he says, gather around me, fellas. Guess what I've got? All the one ball players throw down their shoes and say, what, a new set of tires? He says, no. Look. And he whips out his case. Devil's food with a marshmallow center. Then all the boys hop up and down and say, yummy, yum. And they pick up the cake and hit them right in the push with it. We will raise a family. A boy for you and a girl for me. Well, that's all right. Of course, there's just this. There is no comment. Oh, can't you see how happy we would be?
Philco wished sincere thanks for the shower of congratulations audience and from its debut of the Radio Hall of Fame last Sunday. and also for the enthusiastic comments of the press and radio. By these hearty expressions of approval, Philco is encouraged to feel that its purposes and objectives in establishing the Radio Hall of Fame will indeed be fulfilled, and that as the leader in radio manufacture, it will have made a major contribution to radio entertainment. For those of you who may not have heard our program last Sunday, may I explain that it is Philco's purpose in the Radio Hall of Fame to bring you every Sunday at this time a radio survey of proven hits from all fields of entertainment. Each week, Variety, the theatrical weekly newspaper, and its nationwide board of editors and correspondents will comb Broadway, Hollywood, and the airwaves. They will scan the theaters, concerts, studios, nightclubs, and popular song centers in every part of the country. And each week, they will judge and select the best, the top hits, the performances that make headline news nationally or locally for the Radio Hall of Fame. Thus, Philco will honor the show world and bring you every Sunday at this hour a program of the best in the world of entertainment. And thus, Philco seeks to fulfill its obligation to the radio audience of America, of whom the 17 million Philco owners are in the vast majority.
Lovely to look at, delightful to know. This sentimental outburst heralds the arrival of two charming young ladies in the Hall of Fame, Boudoir Division. One of them is vastly famous, the other comparatively an unknown. We'll consider the celebrated honey first. Obviously, I mean Jenny Sims. In proposing gorgeous Virginia for the Hall of Fame laurel, Variety does no more than second a deep-throated, roaring nomination passed on to us by the armed forces of the United States of America. For Jenny is a daughter of all the regiments, sweetheart of the Army, the Navy, the Marines, and the Coast Guard. Miss Jenny Sims.
Well, thank you, Deans. My song is for radio man third class Patrick Smith, now on Tarawa in the South Seas. My song is for Sergeant Bill Jones, now on the northward slopes of Mount Camino near Rome. My song is for Ensign Frank Brown, aboard a destroyer somewhere near the Marshall Islands. My song is for Coast Guardsman Bob Johnson on the Iceland Patrol. My song is Speak Low from One Touch of Venus. Summer day withers away too soon, speak low, when you speak love, a moment is swift, like ships adrift, we're swept apart too soon, speak low, my darling, speak low. Love is a spark lost in the dark. Too soon, I feel wherever I go that tomorrow is near, tomorrow is here, always too soon. Time is so long, and love so brief. Love is pure gold, and time a thief. We're late, oh darling, we're late. The curtain descends, everything ends. Too soon, too soon. I wait, oh darling, I wait. Will
Oh, thanks, Ginny. And the other lovely lady, I don't think you've ever heard her name, but you've heard her voice on thousands of soap opera programs for 5 years now. Claire Neeson is a member of a vast army, the army of young, talented, ambitious actresses who use the radio business for bread-and-butter jobs while they search always for that big, shining chance in the theater. Variety has determined that at least one out of that hopeful host must share our Hall of Fame spotlight as soon as possible. Claire Neeson was chosen by audition to represent radio's anonymous army, and Claire was chosen to add a sequel to Jenny Sims' Song of Love. It follows now. This is Claire Neeson in Love Letter from Microfilm.
There must be millions of us now here at home. Women without men. Women whose men have gone to war. We wait at home, most of us, and work and hope. And we write letters. I've started a letter tonight. There must be hundreds of thousands like me writing now, this instant, as I speak. And there are surely thousands writing now whose letters, like mine, will be imprisoned on tiny rolls of film by the strange, shrinking magic of the micro camera, reduced 100 diameters, developed in kindly darkness, and shipped on bomber wings to the borders of battle. From me to you, darling, with all my love, on microfilm. Is it less romantic that way? I don't think so. Not if it gets there faster wherever he is. Not if his answer wings back across the oceans and the continents sooner. By one day, by one hour, by one small minute. You see, I don't know where he is. For so long, he was always here near me. And now, well, I find it hard to get used to the idea, but I don't know where he is. His last letter was from San Francisco 2 weeks ago. What do you write to a man you love who may be in Africa or India or China? What do you say to bridge an unknown sea? I began quite calmly, "Dearest Joe." And I told him all the small news of the week. How the people next door have a new baby. How his pal Bill Riley called to say hello before he left for Pensacola. I told him about Barnacle. That's Joe's Cocker Spaniel. I told him how Barnacle still likes to sit right up forward under the jib when we go sailing in the bay. And how the bay is empty now in the winter sunlight, because he isn't here to sail with me in Barnacle. And how much I miss him. And how very much I miss him. But how can I finish? How can I write down all the things that are in my heart to tell my man? If I were to write from this moment steadily all through the night, I couldn't possibly say all the things I need to say. Are there words to capture and hold in miniature all the love I have for him, as the micro camera will take this letter of mine and make it infinitely small? Are there tiny jewels of words to be engraved on a locket of love, no bigger than a needle's eye? Yes. I think I can find such words. There's a poem we both of us know. Joe would die, I think, before he'd say that poem out loud. But he copied it out of a book once when he was in college and sent it to me. I'll send it back to him now. A famous woman wrote it first many years ago to her famous lover husband. These are the words of Elizabeth Barrett Browning for reproduction on microfilm. With all my love. Dearest, dearest Joe, how do I love thee? Let me count the ways. I love thee to the depth and breadth and height my soul can reach. When feeling out of sight for the ends of being and ideal grace, I love thee to the level of every day's most quiet need, by sun and candlelight. I love thee freely as men strive for right. I love thee purely as they turn from praise. I love thee with the passion put to use in my old grief and with my childhood stay. I love thee with a love I seem to lose with my lost saints. I love thee with the breath, smiles, tears of all my life. And if God choose, I shall but love thee better after death.
Anyone desiring to reach Miss Neeson with starring contract in hand may call Variety. Office hours, 9 a.m. until exhausted. Coming up now, that customary brief intermission, while the network pulls itself apart and knits itself neatly up again. I beg your pardon, Mr. Riggs, but could this possibly be...
Right you are, Mr. Taylor. This is the Blue Network.
The Philco Hall of Fame, Act the Second. Awaiting the call boy are Red Skelton, Harriet Hilliard, Carmen Jones, and Paul Whiteman. With Variety at one elbow and years of experience at the other, Paul does the musical selecting for the Hall of Fame. And this week, Variety proposed the score of Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer's new picture, Girl Crazy. And Paul said...
So, I suppose everyone knows that anything by Gershwin is tops with me. Let's take I Got Rhythm and wrap it up.
Therefore, I Got Rhythm from Girl Crazy, wrapped up as only Paul can wrap up a Gershwin tune.
Thank you.
The tune from his newest picture for MGM, Thousands Cheer, will serve to usher into the Hall of Fame the bumptious Mr. Red Skelton, accompanied by his radio mama, Harriet Hilliard. Variety beckons to Red because of his expensively technicolored hilarity in Thousands Cheer, and more especially for the creation of a radio character that listening America is slightly mad about. I refer to the mean little boy on his weekly air show. Naturally, we bring you what Red considers his best I Do It sketch. From Hollywood, Red Skelton and Harriet Hilliard.
Thank you, Mr. Taylor and Philco. We've picked the one about the barber shops, if you remember. Well, anyway, that's the one we'd like to do. So, Harriet, you be my mother, and I'll be the mean little kid with a burr in his hair.
Mommy, 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 mommy.
I wonder where she is.
Mommy.
Here, what's that in your hair?
Look, look, mommy, look,
oh,
look.
Good heavens. What have you got in it? Chewing gum?
Chewing gum in 1943?
Oh, you dreamer, you.
Well, what is it then?
It's Cocklebird.
Cocklebird?
Oh, you was mad. I can see it in your pretty little face.
What do you see in my pretty face?
Well, mentally, you was reaching for a razor strap. Don't whip me, please. I told you I would get next door. You would do it. You
oh,
would whip me.
Stop crying. I won't whip you.
Yes,
not
you
whip.
Will. Yes, you will.
I won't whip you.
I can feel that big hand now.
I will not whip you.
Quite you hard?
Yes.
Boy, what a relief. Well, you know that little kid next door? Well, he pushed me into some bushes.
He pushed you into some bushes?
Yes, ma'am.
What did you do to him?
Well,
I said, what did you do to him?
Well, it wasn't nothing much, really.
Tell me.
Well, he got a brand new tricycle, but from now on, he's going to have to crawl down a manhole to ride it.
Did you hit him with anything?
Not with Cocklebird. Goodness, I don't go around putting Cocklebird in people's hair.
Well, what did you hit him with?
Hmm?
If you didn't put hair in... if you didn't put birds in his
hair... Take it easy, Mom. Take it easy. Take it easy.
Junior, if you didn't put birds in his hair, what did you put in it?
A cactus plant.
Why, Junior, why?
Well, you got but silver... Oh, got me stripped upside down. I put a cactus in here because he said he's headache and I want to scratch it for him.
That's just what I thought. Now, you're going to be sorry.
You mean you're going to have Pop whip me when he sobers up?
You should live so long.
Yeah.
Now, go get the comb and the hairbrush.
Okay, I will get the comb.
And the hairbrush.
Uh-oh, I feel it coming. I feel it. I get the hairbrush. I get the... Whoa! Why don't Pop put me toys away when he's still playing with them? Goodness, I almost broke me widow back. All I do is pick up after that kid all day long. Here's the comb, Mommy. Here's the comb.
Oh, you're not a mess.
And I am a mess, though.
Now, come here and let me comb those burrs out of your hair. Yeah. Now, hold still.
Oh, take it easy. You pull. You're pulling it out, but it works.
It serves you right.
Oh, me head, me head.
Hold still.
Oh, but take it easy. You pull.
It pulls because you pull.
I was only trying to stand me ground.
There. Well, we'll have to go to the barber shop and have them cut out.
Oh, good. Maybe you can cut me hair like Pop, high on the side with a hole in the middle, huh? I'm going to get it all cut off. That's what I do. I'll go to the barber shop if you let me take my new cat.
Your new cat?
Well, he's not exactly new, but he purred like he's in pretty good condition, you know.
Did you bring that cat home?
No, he followed me. You see, there was a long raveling hanging down from me unmentionables, you know. And you know how cats love to play with strings? Well, when I got home, half of me gourd was gone.
Oh, little by little, I hear the booby hatch calling my name.
Why, did you make a reservation?
Junior! Oh, well, I guess I'm being punished for getting your father drunk when I married him. Yeah. At times, I believe the stork that brought you was a buzzard.
Hey, what's a buzzard?
Hmm? He's a terrible-looking bird.
Oh, well, that was a stork. You see, I just worry him a lot, you know. Hey, Mommy, when was I born?
July 18th.
Where was I born?
At the General Hospital.
Well, why was I born?
You got me, bud. Now, be careful crossing the street, Junior.
I will. I'll stop the traffic. I'll blow me widow Fleek whistle, boy. Look at that Chevrolet. Snuggle up to that Buick.
Jim! Now you're going to get it.
You hit me, you broke me with a hip, you broke me with a hip.
I broke your what?
Me hip.
Hooray! Now, come on. Oh, there's the barber shop.
Oh, look at that big stick of peppermint. Oh, boy. Not much taste to it, but candy's candy these days, you know.
Junior, stop licking that barber pole.
Oh.
Now, look, I'm going shopping next door.
Okay.
You go in, but don't you let Mr. Harkins touch your hair till I get there now. You hear me?
Okay, I won't. Now, you can't get it all off. I stick it this way and pop in.
Howdy, kid.
Hello.
Come in for a haircut?
No, I want to buy a fuzzy suit if you got one. Hey, what you doing that man there?
Well, I'm shaving his face.
Oh, going against the grain, ain't you? Hey, you know me, Pop got mad because I sharpened a pencil with his razor, but he shaved with it anyhow. Bleeding time, 1 minute and 30 seconds, you know. Say, do you think I need a shave, maybe?
Oh, no, it'll be some time before you get that 5 o'clock shadow.
Yeah, I got sort of a 3 o'clock fudge, ain't I? Hey, what you going to do, eat them scissors?
No.
Why are you cooking them in that glass there?
They're being sterilized.
Really?
Now, you stop talking to me so much. I might cut this gentleman.
Oh.
And you wouldn't want me to do that, would you?
He must be a new man around here, you know. Hey, what you doing now? What's that thing you doing?
Well, I'm giving him a hot towel.
A hot towel?
Yes. Do you want one?
No, me face is too widow. I might take a lukewarm Kleenex, though.
Now, if you'll stop bothering me, I'll buy you a dish of ice cream.
With whipped cream?
Yes.
And nuts on it?
Yes.
Cherries and chocolate syrup?
Yes.
Never touched it, though. It's too rich for me. Hey, here, put that hairbrush down. I doesn't do nothing.
I'm just going to brush this man's hair.
Is that what you use them things for? Boy, poor old mummy got things upside down again, ain't you? Boy, I get more to whippings all the time. I get whippings. I'm the only kid in the neighborhood who rides these bike tricycles, you know, side saddle. Kind of messed that up a widow, didn't I?
There you are, sir. Haircut, shave, and shampoo. That's $1.50. Thank you. All right. Next.
That's me. I want to get all these birds out of me hair.
Here, let me help you up in this chair. Up he goes. Now, boy, you sure have a mess of tangles. Where's your mother?
She ain't up there. She said to cut all my hair off, though. Cut it all off. She said she's sick of looking at it.
All of it?
Yes, all of everybody.
Well, if you say that's what your mother said, I believe it.
Trusting old soul.
Okay, here we go with the clippers.
Oh, boy, here. I feel a draft.
Now I'll go the other way.
Boy, now I know what a crossroads feels like. Hey, turn me around. Let me see in the mirror. Let me see. Hey, whose head I got on anyhow? Who's that, Jim Farley? Goodness, I look like a bowling ball white, don't I? No, I don't like me this way. Put it back.
Put it back?
Yeah, put it back.
Well, that's impossible now.
Put it back. I want me hair now. You give me my hair back.
I'm sorry, Baldy.
Well, give me a hat because I feel real indecent, you know. Uh-oh, the enemy has spotted us. Stand by for action.
Did you?
Hello. How do you do?
Oh, hello, little boy. Yes. My, what a stupid-looking child. Barbara, did you see a little boy come in here?
Only this one.
No, thank you. I wonder where he went. Junior!
Well, don't yell. You scared me, too.
Were it not for the war, many of you today might be listening to this program over a brand new Philco radio, with all the exclusive features and the handsome cabinet design that made Philco the first choice of the nation for 12 straight years. But instead, you have bought your new Philco radio in the form of war bonds. Instead of enjoying its glorious tone, its thrilling performance, and its graceful beauty in your living room, you have helped Uncle Sam deliver it in battle dress to a plane, a tank, or a ship of the United Nations where it is making its fight for freedom. All the knowledge, skill, and inventive genius that have been stored up over the years in the Philco laboratories and production lines are now devoted to making that Philco radio of yours the most effective fighting weapon that human ingenuity can produce. Amazing achievements of radio and electronic research have given it miraculous powers that were mere flights of fancy before the war and have become astounding realities today. Thanks to this war research, when the time comes that we may all enjoy the good things of life again in peace and freedom, those war bonds you laid away will buy far finer products in the fields of radio, television, refrigeration, and air conditioning under the famous Philco name.
The music of Georges Bizet, written some 68 years ago, leads us into Carmen Jones. The music of Georges Bizet, written some 68 years ago, leads us into Carmen Jones. Most exciting show on Broadway as of December 12, 1943. And Bizet would have been proud of this new Carmen, for Oscar Hammerstein and Robert Russell Bennett have done an amazingly expert job in fitting a modern story and modern lyrics to the Bizet score almost note for note. Carmen Jones is not opera in swing. Carmen Jones is legitimate opera, to which has been added imagination, fire, color, and an all-Negro cast of natural actors. Says variety, Billy Rose has hypoed Bizet into big biz. And so here are Muriel Smith, Inez Matthews, Luther Saxon, and Jack Carr with the cast and chorus of Carmen Jones.
This is the story of Carmen Jones, a bad woman who makes trouble for men wherever she goes. This is the story of Corporal Joe, United States Army, who loved that bad woman not wisely but too well. Too doggone well. And this is the story of Husky Miller, champion prize fighter of the whole world, who steals Joe's Carmen away from Joe. You want to know more about Carmen? Well, let's ask Carmen her own self. Hiya, Miss Jones.
Who you calling, big boy?
Calling you, Carmen. Tell us about yourself, woman.
And who are you to be asking favors from me?
Just one of your many admirers, honey. I could go for you in a big way. Come, tell us all about yourself.
You go for me, and I'm taboo. But if you're hard to get, I go for you. And if I do, then you are through. Boy, my baby, that's the end of you.
The end of you.
So take your cue, boy. Don't say I didn't tell you true.
Tell you true.
I told you truly, if I love you, that's the end of you.
That's Carmen, handsome as sin, warm as a Harlem night in August, and tough as a she-tiger. Now what about Corporal Joe? She gave Joe a flower, Carmen did, and he let her out of jail just for a smile and a rose. And when the MPs came and put Joe in jail instead, he kept his rose, of course. Listen to Corporal Joe telling Carmen about his wilted rose.
This flower that you threw my way has been my friend by night and day. I saw it fade and lose its bloom, but still it kept a sweet perfume in my cell through every dark and dull, on my lonely island.
with no one near me, and talk for a jail walls to hear me. She ain't a pest, they're all the same, like all the rest. She's just a dame. Then I told myself I was raving. There was just one thing I was craving. It wasn't food, it wasn't dough. I guess you know that it was you. I only saw you once. About a shining star, just know the world is dark without you. That's all I know. I only want you.
Joe. And then there's a Husky Miller, heavyweight champion. The night before his big fight, Husky takes Carmen away from Joe. Takes her way up north to Chicago. Listen, that's a crowd. A fight crowd. Outside the gates of a big ballpark in Chicago. Suppose we let the crowd tell you about Husky Miller. Here comes Husky now. Just getting out of that cab over there. And that's Carmen swishing on his arm. They're on their way to the arena. Okay, crowd, come on now. All together, tell them. Husky, all right. Carmen was Joe's girl. But then she saw Husky Miller, champion. Well, so the crowd goes into the stadium. Husky goes into his dressing room. Carmen hangs around outside with a couple of girlfriends.
Hey, look. Look over there. Do you see what I see?
Which way you mean?
Over where?
He looks mean.
Who's that?
Joe, your boyfriend. Standing over there by the lamppost. Do you see him?
Yes. That's his nib.
Before he went home.
He did. But he said he'd come back. I knowed he would, too.
Come away. Who's afraid of him? What can he do to me? Let him come. Get it over with now. He's nuts. Suppose he kills you.
Ain't running away. From him or nobody.
Child's whack. Ain't the army police still looking for Joe?
Sure. I don't like to snitch on nobody. But come on. Maybe we better.
Run along. I'll take care of little Joe. Hi, Joey. You didn't stay home long.
My ma was dead when I got there.
Merton, Frankie, just tell me you was heading my way. They say I better scram. They say you might get mean and maybe try and kill me. You got your chance. Kill me now. Here I am.
But all I want to do is love you like I used to. To hold your hand in my hand and feel your heart next to my heart. Can't we begin again? Couldn't we start all over? Couldn't we begin again?
If you wanna start a fire where fire was before, the coal you burn must be new coal.
Put my memories. They got no sea to drown in. The little things that used to make us laugh when we were clowning, and all the things we'd say or do are all part of me. And you,
Joe, you're making it tough now for yourself, but payment for me. Joe, ain't you heard me say not now, no, no, no. I want you to be no more.
Don't you take as a chance. Only say that you do.
No, that wouldn't be true. Ain't gonna lie, ain't gonna lie. I look at life straight in the eye.
Where are you going?
Up to the grandstand. Got a seat in a box.
You ain't going to no seat in no box. You're coming with me. You're coming with me. You ain't going no place.
Let me go. Don't you see this won't do you no good?
I love him. Why can't you get that through your head? He's the man I want. I love him.
Ain't gonna let you go. Ain't gonna have no man laughing at
let
you.
Let me go.
Come with me or I'll kill you.
Kill me then. Kill me now or let me go.
For the last time.
For the last time. Here's the 10-cent dollar you give me. That's the end of you.
You. You give me love. And you kill it right in front of my eyes.
You ain't never gonna do that to no man again. See this knife?
Don't.
So Joe killed Carmen with his long, bright blade. And as the knife found Carmen's heart, Husky Miller's right hand found the chin of the challenger. One. Two. Three. Four. Five. Six. Seven. Eight. Nine.
Still champion, Husky Miller. The loser, Hopper Joe.
Bring me high on a tree. Oh, that soon I will be with my
darling, my baby, my Carmen.
Speaking for Paul Whiteman, may I congratulate conductor Joseph Littow, chorus master Robert Shaw, and arranger Ted Dale for their masterly contribution to our presentation of Carmen Jones. Next week on the Philco Hall of Fame, Bob Burns, Brian Dunleavy, Walter O'Keefe, and many others, with Paul Whiteman's music, of course. We'll expect you at the gates of the hall this time next week, this station. Signed, Deans Taylor.
The producing and writing staff of the Radio Hall of Fame includes D. Engelbach, George Faulkner, and Abel Green, editor of Variety. Red Skelton and Harriet Hilliard were presented by arrangement with Raleigh Cigarettes. Jenny Sims is sponsored by Philip Morris and presented by arrangement with Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer. This is Glenn Riggs saying goodbye for Philco dealers and distributors throughout the United States and Canada, and for the Philco Corporation, makers today of radio, communications, and electronic material to help win the war. Makers tomorrow of materials for good living in a world at peace.